on board.
Yeah, very good. So it's great to have, thank you for that, for the guys who've shared. It's also really just good to have Christopher with us. So his son in the house, been here for many years, old, is from the Wucks, as the locals say. He's from Wellington, and just going to give him an opportunity to preach, and so great to have you.
Good morning, everyone. Sure. I feel a little bit emotional being here this morning. It's precious. I feel like this house is the house. I got born again before I came into this church, but I feel like when I came into this church, I went back into the womb and got born again. But in a sense, I think I credit a lot of where I am today because of this house and this church. And actually, I've got just a prophetic word to latch onto what's been shared before I get into what I feel this morning. But I feel like a prophetic word for this congregation. I feel like the Lord is saying it's time for the new God. It's time for a new generation of worshipers to arise. I see this congregation training congregations for worship. That's what I see over, and I specifically felt I saw the congregation, not just leaders, not just worship leaders, not anointed people. I saw this congregation going into congregations, and one visit of this congregation into another, I just see the congregations transformed in their worship with one visit from this congregation. I see that. And then what I felt with this congregation, and I come from this congregation, but even long before me, and maybe many of us sit here today, and much of what we are stepping into today is there's people that have gone before us that have become part of the groundwork, and we don't know them, many of them. I don't know even all of them, but this church has a deep and a long history. But I felt like the Lord wants to shift from the past to the future. I felt like the Lord wants to say that this church will be known for its future, not its past. And I feel like, God is calling every single person to step into something that, and it's been linking with Cassie's word, with Auntie Bev's word. There's something for each one to step into, to lay hold of, to take hold of. There's something for you that will have a ripple effect. And years from now, when maybe when if Jesus doesn't come back soon, years from now, people will inherit what you have laid, the foundations that you've built. So I feel like I just want to prophesy that over this congregation. Amen. This morning, it's good to be here. I've been, my life changed radically 6 weeks ago when we gave birth, not me, but my wife, but I feel like I was part of that process. My wife was an absolute champion in that. But she's somewhere here. It's great for both of us to be here. And our daughter, Isla Rose. We are enjoying her so much. A lot of people tell me when they get children, it's amazing how little sleep you need to survive. And my version, I think, is a little bit different. I'm amazed at how much I need sleep when she's around, so I just feel like I'm maybe wired differently to all those that think they can survive without sleep. But it's really good to be here, and I'm trusting this morning. I feel like my word is not super complicated, but I'm trusting for an activation this morning. I'm trusting that there's something for each person. So let's just get to it. I've titled the message "Fill Up." Fill up, and I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about a little bit about the difference this morning between getting saved, getting born again, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a message. I think it's a very important message. It's very basic, I think, in terms of what we need to know as when we come into the faith as Christians. But I realize that this is something that I actually haven't heard someone preach on this for a very long time. And maybe you guys have recently, but this is maybe something that we neglect. I'm going to get into it. So I want to show you a picture of a very good-looking car. If we've got it on there. I don't know if can you see that? Louis, can you see it? I know you like that kind of car. Who would like to take a spin in a car like that? Just be honest. It's not a Toyota. You see, the thing that we don't know about that picture and about that car is whether that car has got fuel in it to go somewhere. And I think that is a very relevant comparison to the church today. Is, are we nice to look at, or are we going somewhere? And as the church, and I'm gonna unpack this, but I believe that we need the Holy Spirit to go somewhere. And I believe that if the Holy Spirit, if we are as a church, not just as individuals, but as the church, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the thrill of what we're going to be experiencing in our midst is going to be 1,000 times more than the thrill of sitting in a Ford Mustang on an open highway and seeing how fast this thing can go. And that's where I want to go today. I want to speak about the role of being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, recently, I felt the Lord lead me to read. Every time I read, I want to preach, but that's my temptation. But I felt recently led to read in my Bible time to read through the Book of Acts. And to be honest, I don't like reading through the Book of Acts because it's probably the most difficult book for me to read because I'm confronted with my weak Christianity. I'm confronted with how far I still have to go to get this thing right. I'm confronted with the other books. Yeah, there for sure. There are many other books in the Bible that are challenging. But at least I can grapple with the theology of it. But the Book of Acts is not about grappling with theology. It's about looking at an example and comparing and like, oh my goodness, I've got a long way to go. And the Book of Acts is for me, it's challenging because you see people that lived radically. I've always said it since I became born again. I want to live radically. And then when I read the Book of Acts, I'm not so sure whether I want to live radically, but I know I've been created to live radically because it's just, and so when I read the Book of Acts, I see a Christianity that is simply not possible without the Holy Spirit. And I've been in Bible school and TMT, and we've debated about whether people should today still give away everything or like they did in the Book of Acts. And I realize now when we had those conversations, we didn't take into account the Holy Spirit. The Book of Acts is going to be a really hopeless book to read if the Holy Spirit does not enable us to live that way. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. A Christianity without the Holy Spirit, hear me in this, I'm not trying to make a statement, but Christianity without the Holy Spirit, and when I speak of without the Holy Spirit, I mean without being filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak of people that are truly born again, and I'll clarify this just shortly, but people that are truly born again, it's possible for a whole church to be truly born again, but not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when I say Christianity without the Holy Spirit, I speak of people born again. They transformed, but they've not been filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'll look at some scriptures just shortly to explain that. And Christianity without the Holy Spirit, I presume, is enough to get us into heaven. You need to be saved to get into heaven. But then I ask myself the question, why, if God only wants us into heaven, doesn't He take us out of the earth the moment we get saved? What's the purpose why we are on the earth if it is only to get saved? And so I want to suggest this morning that if we live with the mindset of, I want to just make it into heaven, we're kind of missing the point of why we are still here. You'll get into heaven, but you'll have no testimonies to tell. You'll have no one that got saved because you stepped out. You'll have no testimonies of people that got healed and delivered. You won't see neighborhoods impacted. Without the Holy Spirit, we'll settle into a comfortable and a nice-to-enjoy Christianity. We'll pursue a Christianity that is best suited to our lifestyle. And if I'm sharing this morning, I'm realizing that without even realizing that there's been plenty of times in my walk with God where I've slipped into this kind of Christianity. How often do we say we need coffee? Who needs coffee right now? Some of you do. How often do we say, I understand this better now, but we need sleep? How often do we say we need food? I'm hungry. But when was the last time you truly said, I need the Holy Spirit for what God wants me to do and to accomplish? I believe with the Holy Spirit, we'll pursue a Christianity that brings the kingdom of God to the earth on a daily level. With the Holy Spirit, we will see neighborhood cities. We will see the impact of God on the earth. With the Holy Spirit, we will have testimonies of people getting saved. With the Holy Spirit, we will have testimonies of people being healed, delivered, and set free from their bondage and sin. With the Holy Spirit, we will see God's kingdom come in love and light. We will see lives impacted and changed. And I'm hoping that this morning that it's not me that is kind of in your face. I'm hoping that the Scripture is the one that and the Holy Spirit Himself is the one that drives us on to shake off the dust and to say, God, that each one of us today say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you. Let's look at Acts 1 verse 4 to 8. While staying with them, this is now Jesus. This is after the crucifixion. Jesus has been risen from the dead. This is shortly before he's leaving the earth. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is very important how Jesus replies. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. According to that scripture, Jesus is telling his disciples, your 3 years experience with me is not enough. As life-changing and as radical as it sounds to live and walk with Jesus for 3 years, Jesus is the one saying to them, what you have at this moment is not enough to change the world. You have to go to Jerusalem and you have to wait. I'm going to send you someone. And you can only fulfill Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. You can only fulfill that calling when I send you my promise. Go to Jerusalem and wait for it. And I'm thinking like 3 years with Jesus would be totally life-changing and radical. And my conclusion is the following. The disciples got born again, but they needed the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work that Jesus wanted them to accomplish. Two things from that passage that stand out for me. Being saved is not what makes us radical and powerful. The Holy Spirit makes us radical and powerful. The second one, Jesus links the kingdom of God coming to the earth to the work and the role of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. We cannot do what God wants us to do just by being saved. We need the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 verse 14 to 17. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they received the word of God. They sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had only been saved. They haven't received the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I'm trying to point out to us that the Scripture is suggesting that being filled with the Holy Spirit and salvation are two different moments in the life of a Christian. verse 17. This is how we see this happens. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I want to tell you a little bit about my story, about how the Holy Spirit came into my life. So I got born again at the age of 16 years old. About a month after I turned 16, I got born again. At that point in my life, I was in hostel in the high school. I was quite obviously living in sin, even though I thought I was a Christian. I went to church with my parents. I read my Bible. Well, in the hostel, you were kind of forced to read your Bible, but I read my Bible every day. I prayed to God every day. So I thought I was a Christian, but I was happily living in my sin without feeling guilty about it. And then someone invited me to get to the cell group. Long story short, I went, and that night the Holy Spirit, God, shone light into my heart, showing me that I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I need salvation. I need a Savior. And Jesus stepped in, and He reached out to me, and I said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to make You my Lord and Savior." I gave my life to Him, and that was a radical moment in my life. I gave my life to Jesus, and everything changed. And salvation, I think, is still the best undeserved gift in my life that I have. Better than my wife, better than a child, the best gift in my life that I have is my salvation. It's undeserved 100%. And so when I got born again, God, and this is what happens, God comes and He lives inside of you. And so when God started to live inside of me, suddenly my desires changed. I didn't want to sin anymore. It wasn't like someone had to come and give me a list of rules saying, this and this and this is wrong, do this and this and this. No, there was a sense in me that doing what I did was wrong and displeasing to God. So I tried to stop doing it and struggled a little bit with the swearing, because in the culture of where I was, everyone was swearing. But from there onwards, when I was swearing, immediately there was guilt, not the wrong guilt, but the guilt of I've transgressed against the Holy God. And so by God's grace and Him coming to live inside of me, I didn't want to sin anymore. I came to see my sin as an insult to God, which never happened before that. So I got radically transformed. But then that night when I got born again, the guy asked me to do something. The guy that led me to the Lord. He said to me, "I want you to go today and to tell 3 people that you got born again, that you gave your life to Jesus." And initially I was like, yes, I can do that. But as soon as I stepped out of that room, I was gripped by fear. I was gripped by, I cannot do this. I'm not going to tell anyone. I was just simply like, whether it was the fear of rejection or whether I was just, well, how people are going to react. They're going to maybe think I'm crazy because we all live in a Christian society. We're all Christians anyway. Whatever the reason was, I simply couldn't do it. I just didn't tell anyone. Not even my roommate in the hostel with whom I was very close. I didn't have the courage to say to him, "I need to tell you that my life changed today." I didn't have the courage to do that. So my life got transformed, but I didn't have the courage to speak about it. And then about 2-3, I can't remember exactly. I'll lie maybe if I try to pinpoint it. But soon after I got born again, those same guys, I joined that cell group. And those same guys, I don't know why they waited so long to do this, because maybe you'll catch what I'm saying. They taught us on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They came, they taught on it, and then at the end of that night, they laid their hands on us and prayed that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And that night, I believe I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got filled in the Holy Spirit. And the most amazing thing, and this is the reason why I say, I don't know why they waited so long. Suddenly, there was a boldness and a courage to go out and to witness. And suddenly, I was not scared of what people might think of me anymore. The fear of man, in a sense, was destroyed. I wanted to go and share the gospel. And I want to suggest that being saved doesn't necessarily make us bold and courageous. We need the Holy Spirit to make us bold and courageous. A testimony from that time was one night. So when I got born again. A couple of weeks later, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I felt led in the hostel to start a cell group for the guys. And soon, like, just God was on it, and things started happening. Young guys got saved, and it was this group of about 40 guys that we met regularly twice a week. They were giving up their free time to meet together, to worship, to listen to a message. It was incredible. And then one night, I did the teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I taught them about the difference between being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we ran out of time, and it was crazy. It was unbelievable. People were falling over, and that's not the point, but it was just, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just saying, come, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. And people got slain and filled and what. So the bell goes, that means it's almost time to get, you've got about 5 to 10 minutes to get ready, then it's quiet time. So this one guy, that night we were praying also for people to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. And so the one guy that was there, he didn't receive the gift of speaking in tongues. So now, in quiet time, and when it's quiet time in the hostel, you have to sit on your bed, open your Bible, pray, and if you don't believe, you just need to sit quiet and don't say anything or do anything. They're quite strict on it. So this one guy, he gets up and he's on his way to me because he wants me in quiet time to pray for him for the gift of tongues. So he wasn't thinking clearly. But anyway, because quiet time in the hostel is not the best time to pray for someone for the gift of tongues. So on his way to me, he bumps into the teacher. And the teacher on duty that night is probably the most traditional teacher in Paul Gymnasium at that time. Not the guy you want to mention speaking in tongues at all. And he doesn't even, like, on his way to me, he recounts the story. He's not even worried that he's going to be in trouble because he's coming for prayer. I'm sure they're going to understand that someone is going to pray for me. And he says to the teacher, now I'm going to Christopher. Christopher's going to pray for me so I can speak in tongues. The next moment, there's a knock on my door, and it's not the young guy on his way to me. The young guy was sent back to his room. It's the teacher knocking on my door, pulls me out of my room, takes me to the end of the passage. He says, what nonsense are you bringing into this hostel? And then I was trying to defend myself, trying to tell him it's in the Bible. You can open your Bible. You can have a look. It's there. He wasn't interested. And so he said, we're not going to fight now. We're not going to argue now. When lights out, when quiet time's over and it's lights out, I'm going to come and fetch you. So then we can go to the headmaster of the hostel, the Kosse's father. So when the bell goes, suddenly before the teacher comes into my room, there's two guys running into my room saying, can you pray for me? I want to pray in tongues. Then I tell them, listen guys, you need to hide in my cupboard because the teacher's on his way, and if he finds you here, me praying for you for tongues, he's not going to be happy. I'm already not on a happy mood with him. So I tell them to wait because I'm going to sort this out. So he comes, I hide them in my cupboard. He comes, luckily the cupboards are long, you just have to just bend a little bit. So Or at least till I'm out, then they can come out because I don't know how long I'm going to be busy with. Anyway, so I went to the principal of the hostel, and luckily, I don't know, I think God was with me. Because the principal of the hostel just said to me, if these kids' parents are happy that they are at your cell group, then I'm happy. So he was kind of not part of the story. But about a year later, that teacher's heart towards me changed radically. I don't know why, I don't know what happened, but he came to me asking me every time he was on duty, do you need me to make an announcement for you? And it just God did something in his heart. So bless God for that. But while I was in the principal's office in the hostel and I came back into my room, there was like a prayer meeting going on and I just joined in. And I said, okay guys, let's pray for you. let's pray for you. And they said, no, Christopher, it's not necessary. While you were gone, we were just praying for you. Suddenly, we started praying in tongues. And yeah, it was just, I missed the raw environment of living in a hostel with surrounded by unsafe people where the power of God and the light of God was so radically different from everything around us. And I believe the world is so dark around us that we are called to be the light. We are called to shine our light, but we need the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, I promise you, we're going to have testimony upon testimony upon testimony. But it starts with today, it starts with saying, even if you've been filled, and I'm going to show you, but even if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit 100 times, even then, we need to together say, Jesus, God, we need the Holy Spirit again. The Holy Spirit led me away from just enjoying my salvation for myself and stirred me to go witness and make disciples. The Holy Spirit leads us away from just enjoying this, what we have, for ourselves. And the Holy Spirit makes us powerful witnesses. Salvation leads to transformation. It gives you a testimony. And it gives you the power to overcome sin. But the Holy Spirit gives you boldness and courage. The Holy Spirit destroys the fear of man. And the Holy Spirit enables you and gives you power to be a witness. We need the Holy Spirit. More than we need coffee, sleep, and food, we need the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk quickly about how can we recognize that we as a church, or even as individuals, how can we recognize that we are filled with the Holy Spirit? I like to measure things in my own life. I know Mike does too. So it's no good that I'm just subjectively, yeah, I think I feel this happy feeling. So yes, surely I have the Holy Spirit. I think that's not good enough. There needs to be a concrete measurement that we can measure ourselves by and say, do or don't I have the Holy Spirit? Am I filled or am I not filled with the Holy Spirit? Like your car that has a light that goes on, ping, and then you know that you don't have far to go anymore, or you're going to call a friend to help you. So I remember my student days, I drove my car more with the light on than with the light off. So I knew my car and my light very well. But I'm thankful for that light. And God bless anyone that tries to survive without that light. But in our Christian walk, what is the sign? What is that light going on when we are starting to run on empty? When the Holy Spirit, interesting, just a side note, in prayer, someone prayed, God, your voice is like a mighty rushing water. And immediately just the thought jumped into my head, if you want mighty rushing water, you need a river. You're not going to see mighty rushing water at a dam. You need river. You need water flowing. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit active in our lives. In and out. In and out. Anyway, that was just something on the side. So how can we ask ourselves as believers, is it, or even as a church corporately, how can we ask, do or don't we have the Holy Spirit? Is it because we have a pumping prayer every week? Is it because, like this morning, the worship was off the charts? And I love Wellington's worship. It's amazing. Or is it that the congregation seems to be holding a strong doctrinal line on the truth of God? What is the sign? And I want to suggest that those things are all important. And they are all a sign that God is with us. But the primary sign that I see when I read through the book of Acts is that the community of believers were powerful witnesses to unbelievers as the primary sign that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. So instead of asking yourself, yes, I think I've got the Holy Spirit. I love prayer. I love worship. I love this. I love to read my Bible. Surely the Holy Spirit is inside of me. I would suggest, instead of looking at those things, ask yourself, am I witnessing to unbelievers? Is the Holy Spirit empowering me to share and to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. I would suggest that if you read the book of Acts, you'll come to the same conclusion as me, that the first and primary sign that the Holy Spirit is in our midst is we are a people that witness. So with that, I think we can have a church full of born-again Christians who are gifted. We have pumping prayer worship, but that doesn't mean we have the Holy Spirit. It's possible that we can just be a dam instead of a river, instead of flowing out. And I believe, and we read in Revelation that there's a river, not a dam, that's flowing from the throne of God. And I want to say that we have a responsibility to make sure that our gospel is not empty. And when I say empty, I mean we as Christians, we are like that Mustang. We have a tank. Well, at least if you're born again, you get a tank. You have the possibility to be filled up and to go somewhere. If you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, you ain't going anywhere because you don't have a tank. You can't get filled. You need to be born again before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you get born again, you get a tank, but you get an empty tank. I know that doesn't sound great, but that's the reality. And then, so I would suggest when you lead someone to the Lord, you've just given them a car and an empty tank. Why not immediately pray for that tank to get filled up and washed? But if you buy a new car, it's washed already. So we as a church, we like that Mustang. We've got it. We've got the engine. We've got everything. And we're ready to go, but we need to fill up the tank. We need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that just want to show you from scripture that this is not just my idea, but it's the Bible's idea that we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit every now and again. Acts 2 verse 4 is the first instance of where people were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible actually says in that portion of Scripture, the unbelievers actually thought the people were drunk. And there's been a knee-jerk reaction in the church towards the Holy Spirit because we don't want shake, rattle, and roll. People get scared when people fall over and all those kind of things. But it does seem to me when I look at the Bible, God wasn't scared that people would think that they were drunk with wine when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. God is not so much concerned about our about whether we are respectable. Acts 2 verse 4 was the first instance. Then shortly after that, and Peter at least is the one person we know that was in the first group and in the second group. So Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 verse 4. And then Peter, in Acts 4 verse 31, was one of them, and I'm sure there were others too. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We need the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God with boldness. And there you see an instance, Peter, the disciple that walked with Jesus, he got baptized and then he got filled again. And I want to suggest, and there's many more scriptures. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." It's as if Paul is commanding, don't get drunk with wine, but go get yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that if the disciples that walked with Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping that's the one thing that you take from this message, is that we as a church, as individuals, if we desire to count for God, if we desire to see Wellington transformed, if we desire to see people's lives changed, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives us boldness, power, courage, and whatever we need to go out into the world, make disciples, leading people to Christ, baptizing them in Jesus' name, in the Father, the Son, getting them to on a journey where they're on their way with us to God. So Lord Jesus, we need you. Oh, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you, God. Lord, as a church this morning, we recognize that we can mislead ourselves. We can have great prayer, God. We can have great worship. We can have the Word of God, sound and truth. But Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to make us powerful and effective witnesses. But before we can be witnesses, we need to be witnessed too. We need God witnessing to us. We need Him. We need Him to share with us the message of truth, the message of life, the message of salvation. Before we can receive the Holy Spirit, we need to be born again. We need to be in an active relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to create an opportunity. I haven't been here in a long time, and it's really great to actually see many faces of people I don't know. It means just there's life and there's growth in this church. But there could be someone here this morning that doesn't have relationship with Jesus. There could be someone this morning that is not born again. You've never surrendered the totality of your life into the hands of Jesus Christ. You've not received the gift of mercy and grace and the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's anyone here this morning, I'd just like to create an opportunity. I made this decision about 13 years ago, and it was radically life-changing. And if you're here this morning, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've been in a relationship, but you've slipped away. You've allowed the things of the world to cloud away the sight of Jesus. Maybe this morning you, if you're honest with yourself, you're in a place where you haven't heard the voice of God for weeks, for months. Before we want to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, I would like to give everyone an opportunity to be in right standing with God. And if that's you, if you're in a place this morning where you need to commit your life to God, receive His mercy, receive His love, receive His grace, if that's you, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, is there anyone that would like to commit their life for the first time or make a fresh commitment to God this morning? Just raise your hand. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Just keep your hand raised with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Just keep it. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God, that you are calling and drawing people back to you, Jesus. You are drawing and calling people back to you. That's your heart, Jesus. As I was driving here this morning, you reminded me most important is that we are loved. That we are loved. We are loved by a heavenly Father. We are loved by a God that is ridiculously good. We should not be loved because of our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are drawing people back to you this morning. Lord, I thank you for those that are, keep your hands raised. I want to trust that the Lord, the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart, restore your heart this morning. You can be sure that after this morning that you are right with God. You can be sure that you are in right standing with Him. I'm going to ask just the leader to identify the hands that are raised so that you can pray with them. So just the leaders, or please open your eyes. Just someone identify. We've got three. I see three hands raised. So just a leader, can we? We're going to give an opportunity just now for you guys to pray for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then I want to ask this morning that let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. I don't want to force it. There needs to be a desire in our own hearts saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you, God. We need you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we, in some way, God, come touch us this morning. Come fill us, Lord. Come fill us this morning. Come fill us this morning. Let's just close our eyes and let's just wait on Him for a second. Let's get our hearts into a position of receiving. I think that's important. There needs to be a hunger and something of, I want this, as opposed to, yeah, Christopher, you preached, it made sense, but I'm not sure if I want. There needs to be a heart's posture of, I need this and I want this. So just take a moment to position your heart in such a place. We're going to be praying for each other just now, but position your heart. Get your heart into a place where you're ready to receive.
So what we're going to do is, it'd be great to have an opportunity to pray for specific folk for just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we all need